Okay. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Canto 1, Chapter 12, Text 24. Sarva Sadguna Mahatmye. Esha Krishnam Anuvrataha. Ranti Deva Ivo Daro. Yayatir Iva Dharmika. Sarva Sadguna Mahatmye. Esha Krishnam Anuvrataha. Ranti Deva Ivo Daro. Yayatir Iva Dharmaka. Krishnam Anuvrataha Ranti Deva Ivo Daro Ladies, please chant. Ladies, you're not a lady. Oh. Ladies, please chant. One more. Come on. Sarva Satguna Mahatmye. Glorified by all godly attributes. Eshaha. This child. Krishnam. Like Lord Krishna. Anuvrataha. Following his footsteps. Ranti Devaha. Ranti Deva. Eva. Like. Udaraha, in the matter of magnanimity. Yayatihi. Yayati. Eva. Like. Dharmikaha. Concerning religion. Translation. This child will be almost as good as Lord Sri Krishna by following in his footsteps. In magnanimity, he'll become as great as King Ranti Deva. And in religion, he'll be like Maharaj Yayati. Purport. 2 pages, get ready. The last instruction of Lord Sri Krishna in Bhagavad Gita is that one should give up everything and follow in the footsteps of the Lord alone. Less intelligent persons do not agree to this great instruction of the Lord, as ill luck would have it. But one who is actually intelligent catches up this sublime instruction and is immensely benefited. Foolish people do not know that association is the cause of acquiring qualities. Association with fire makes an object hot. Even in the material sense, therefore, association with the Supreme Personality of Godhead makes one qualified like the Lord. As we have discussed previously, one can achieve 78% of the godly qualities of the Lord's intimate association by the Lord's intimate association. To follow the instructions of the Lord is to associate with the Lord. And in italics, the Lord is not a material object whose presence one has to feel for such association. The Lord is present everywhere, and at all times it is quite possible to have his association simply by following his instruction, because the Lord and his instruction and the Lord and his name, fame, attributes, and paraphernalia are all identical with him, being absolute knowledge. Maharaj Pariksit associated with the Lord even from the womb of his mother up to the last day of his valuable life, and thus he acquired all the essential good qualities of the Lord in all perfection. That's a half a page out of 2. Next. Ranti Deva, an ancient king prior to the Mahabharata period, referred to by Narada Muni while instructing Sanjaya, as mentioned in Mahabharata Drona Parva, he was a great king, liberal for hospitality and distribution of foodstuff. Even Lord Sri Krishna praised his acts of charity and hospitality. He was blessed by the great Vasishtha Muni for supplying him cold water, and thus he achieved the heavenly planet. He used to supply fruits, roots, and leaves to the rishis, and thus he was blessed by them with fulfillment of his desires. Again in italics, although a kshatriya by birth, he never ate flesh in his life. He was especially hospitable to Vasishtha Muni, and by his blessings only he attained the higher planetary residence. He is one of those pious kings whose names are remembered in the morning and evening. And then final is a little biography of Yayati. Very interesting. Very complicated. So you got to listen carefully. The great emperor of the world and the original forefather of all great nations of the world who belong to the Aryan and Indo-European stock. He is the son of Maharaj Nahusha, and he became the emperor of the world due to his elder brothers becoming a great and liberated saintly mystic. He ruled over the world for several thousands of years and performed many sacrifices and pious activities recorded in history, although in his early youth he was very lustful and full of romantic stories. He fell in love with Devayani. The most beloved daughter of Shukracharya, Devayani, wished to marry him. But at first he refused to accept her because of her being a daughter of a Brahmana. According to Shastra, a Brahmana could marry the daughter of a Brahmana. Huh? What? I can't. I'm reading what's in the book. Is it on the screen? Is something different?
Yeah, it says the Brahmin could marry the daughter of a Kshatriya.
Okay. Well, I know what's in front of me, so maybe I should read what's on the screen. Our books are the same, and the screen is different. We have to ask Dravid about that one. So, that's wrong. This is correct and this is wrong. This is correct and that's wrong. Okay, I'll read it. According to Shastra, a Brahmana could marry the daughter of a Kshatriya, but a Kshatriya could not marry the daughter of a Brahmana, which is right. Yeah, I know the terms. I just thank you for your editing work, dear editors. They were very much cautious about Varna Sankara population in the world. Shukracharya amended this law of forbidden marriage and induced Emperor Yayati to accept Devayani. Devayani had a girlfriend named Sarmishta, who also fell in love with the emperor and thus went with her friend Devayani. Shukracharya forbade Emperor Yayati to call Sarmishta into his bedroom, but Yayati could not strictly follow his instruction. He secretly married Sarmishta and also begot sons by her. When this was known by Devayani, she went to her father and lodged a complaint. Yayati was very much attached to Devayani, and when he went to his father-in-law's place to call her, Shukracharya was angry with him and cursed him to become impotent. Yayati begged his father-in-law to withdraw his curse, but the sage asked Yayati to ask youthfulness from his sons and let them become old as the condition of his becoming potent. He had 5 sons, 2 from Devayani and 3 from Sarmishta. From his 5 sons, namely Yadu, Turvasa, Druya, Anu, and Puru, 5 famous dynasties came, namely 1. The Yadu dynasty, 2. The Yavana or Turk dynasty, 3. The Bhoja dynasty, 4. The Malecha dynasty, parentheses, Greek, and 5. The Pourava dynasty, all emanated to spread all over the world. He, Yayati, reached the heavenly planets by dint of his pious acts. But he fell down from there because of his self-advertisement and criticizing other great souls. After his fall, his daughter and grandson bestowed upon him their accumulated virtues. And by the help of his grandson and friend Shibi, he was again promoted to the heavenly kingdom, becoming one of the assembly members of Yamaraj, with whom he is staying as a devotee. He performed more than 1,000 different sacrifices, gave in charity very liberally, and was a very influential king. His majestic power was felt all over the world. His youngest son, Puru, agreed to award him his youthfulness when he was troubled with lustful desires, even for 1,000 years, finally became detached from worldly life and returned the youthfulness again to his son Puru. He wanted to hand over the kingdom to Puru, but his noblemen, and the subjects did not agree. Is there another editing change? We're good. Okay. But when he explained to his subjects the greatness of Puru, they agreed to accept Puru as the king, and thus Emperor Yayati retired from family life and left home for the forest. Oh, it's 3 minutes before 8, and we're supposed to end at 8:20, 8:15? A little longer, okay. This has a whole chapter just speaking about the glories of Maharaj Parikshit. But just some bullet points because of time. Why? One, he is the receiver of the Bhagavatam, and one of the things that the Bhagavatam wants us to know is who is a qualified speaker, who is a qualified person to receive the message. In its fullness, because he received from Shukadeva Goswami his message in fullness. Now, during his life, his qualities are almost the qualities of Krishna. That's pretty high. And still, Shukadeva Goswami speaking to him brought him to the stage of perfection. That's the process of Shravanam, which, according to Jiva Goswami and so forth, it's essential. The beginning is Shravanam. So our acharyas, our founder acharya Srila Prabhupada wanted the world to receive Shravanam. Somebody sent me a little 3.5-minute video clip, which I'll just, of Prabhupada speaking at the Henry Street Temple in New York. And it's about the holy name, and people may not hear, or they may hear, the sound vibration creates auspiciousness. New York City isn't known for being a place of auspiciousness, nor is Los Angeles. But the sound vibration, whether people hear it or not hear it, and then later he said whether they understand it or don't understand it, then later he said whether they like it or don't like it, the sound vibration creates auspiciousness in a world that's not abundant in auspiciousness. It's the Yuga Dharma. And combined with this Yuga Dharma is the Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita's message, sound vibration, just like we're doing. And I can imagine, I'm getting hand signals from our sound man. We have to speak. So there's probably a number of people, remote places, listening every morning to the classes in New Dwarka. I know a number of them that listen every morning. So the sound vibration is going out and it's creating auspiciousness, Prabhupada said, for all of human society and the world. And, you know, in the beginning we had nothing. Just the name. Didn't even have a mridanga. Then he looked and said, what is it? Someone said, drum. Yes, a little drum. And for 3 hours, chanting from 2 to 5. And that's all we had. We didn't have prasadam distribution. We didn't have abundant books for distribution. Just the name. And from the name came everything. From the name. Because, as it's in the purport, the name and the qualities of Krishna, etc., are all of absolute truth, and they generate qualities like Krishna. Through association, like fire, you get warm. Or more than warm, you get hot. You become fire. Jump into fire, you become fiery. So, by association with Krishna, because from childhood that's what he did, through even before birth and then throughout, because he was in the royal family where Krishna was their dearmost, and so he heard sound about Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. And therefore, qualities like Krishna. In a place, so in Kali Yuga, perfect combination. The name and the Bhaktivedanta purports and the message of pure devotion. Perfect combination to give direction to human society and create auspiciousness and the desire to be in Krishna's association, serving him with love. It's there. It is to be just awakened. And again, in this little, right in the purport, Prabhupada said, "This sound vibration is not material." Then repeated, "It is not material. It's fully spiritual. It's Krishna in his fullness in sound. Nama, nami, vacha, and vachaka. Non-different." So, how are we going to associate with Krishna? Prabhupada in the purport says he's everywhere. Well, he's everywhere, but we're tuned into the material energy and not to the spiritual energy. So sound vibration tunes us into the spiritual energy. Provided, small thing, there's faith in that sound, then it works more effectively. But even if there's not faith, it works and helps generate the goal, connection. One other point, and that is the whole chapter dedicated to Maharaj Parikshit. This is chapter 12, chapter 7 of this first canto, when there's, right after the Atmarama verse that says, the messages of Krishna are attractive even to the Atmarama personalities, the topmost devotees. Shukadeva Goswami, attracted to Bhagavatam, means it's not material because he's not attracted to anything material. It's all attractive even to Shukadeva. So after hearing that, the sages headed by Shonaka say, Krishna Katha, Krishna Katha, Krishna Katha. So what does Shukadeva Goswami or Suta Goswami speak about? The Pandavas. So Prabhupada asks, why is he speaking about the Pandavas? Because speaking about the Pandavas is the same as speaking about Krishna because of their intimate connection with Krishna. His qualities aren't the same as Krishna, but hearing about Maharaj Parikshit is as good as hearing about Krishna, otherwise it wouldn't be in the Bhagavatam. And a similar reference, same thing, just underscoring the point. In the third canto Bhagavatam, there's this meeting between Maitreya and Vidura. And the first question that Vidura asks Maitreya, after respecting the speaker and the speaker's respecting the listener, reciting their qualities and glories, please describe creation. That's not like Vidura didn't know about creation. He was kind of uneducated or undereducated, but he wanted to hear from the mouth of Maitreya. So this long description, very, 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 very intricate, not just God said, let there be, and so it was, and it was good. There's lots of details. Lots of, like, so many details. Because there's a source of everything. And then after Vishnu comes Brahma. And then Brahma does what Brahma does. And the first, well, among the early offspring of Brahma is Manu. And Shatrurupa says they had three sons and two daughters, or two sons and three daughters, and their name, blah, blah, blah. So then Vidura says, tell me more about Swayambhuva Manu. In Prabhupada, there's several verses. Because hearing about Swayambhuva Manu is as good as hearing about Krishna. Hearing about a pure devotee like Maharaj Parikshit is as good as hearing about Krishna. It's non-different. Otherwise, it wouldn't be in the Bhagavatam. And one last thing. The qualities that Maharaj Parikshit had are being compared to the qualities of exalted persons that are not of the caliber of Maharaj Parikshit. The charitableness of Ranti Dev, he went to heaven. Yati went to heaven, but he's kind of got a little confused during different parts of his life. And he wasn't of the caliber of Maharaj Parikshit. So their qualities... I was at a program somewhere recently. Oh, yeah. And on the, you know, black t-shirt and big white letters, good karma. So I didn't embarrass the young man during the class, but I spoke with him later and said, the Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita teach us to go beyond good karma. In general, I'm sure there's exceptions, but in general, religion, that's like a not a nice word in the world today, but religion, scripture, teaches go to heaven and don't go to the bad place. And to go to heaven, religion means laws given by God. And those who follow the laws given by God are religious people. And religious people go to heaven. The Bhagavad Gita is really clear. Go beyond heaven. Huh? I mean, that's a new one. What's beyond heaven? Probably most of us grew up not knowing the distinction between heaven and the kingdom of God. Or paravyoma and the material creation. We didn't have that understanding. Poor fund of knowledge. And therefore, the best is good karma, go to heaven, enjoy for a long time, and then, whoops, when your piety exhausts, kshine punya marcha lokam vishanti. It's really clear in Bhagavad Gita, but most people don't know that. So it's a paradigm shift, or it's a concept that's a little hard for people to wrap their mind around, that there's a place that's beyond heaven. There's a place beyond creation, and that's our home. Not just a good place. Avoid the bad place. Be good and don't be bad. How many times, I've had lots of times, people say, what's your teachings? What are your basic beliefs? Just curiosity kind of question. You say what it is, and they say, oh, that's like, just like my religion. They didn't hear what we said. Because they hear like a scientist hears, according to the conception of life that they carry, the sensory data is read a certain way. And somebody has another paradigm, and the sensory data is read in a different way. It's just how the mind works. It filters. So if you don't have a spiritual conception, how are you going to understand the distinction between the temporary and the eternal? Like the soul. And everything else connected. Confidential, more confidential, most confidential knowledge. It won't go in. So how does it get to go in? You need association of sound vibration from the source of sound vibration that is connected to that realm of the absolutes, the realm of transcendence. In China, I call it the realm of higher consciousness, because you can't say certain things in China, right? Tap him on the shoulder. You can't say certain things in China. So the realm or the place of higher consciousness, euphemistic, you have to be careful. So, without details. So, how do we... The qualities that Ranti Deva and Yayati have are likened to the qualities of Maharaj Parikshit, but the qualities of Maharaj Parikshit are targeted on one thing only. That's the first paragraph. Krishna is to be pleased. Ranti Deva didn't have the same bhakti, maybe because of association. Vishishta isn't known for being a Shuddha Bhakta. And Yayati, you know, he did Karmakanda rituals, but Narada didn't visit him like he visited King Prachinibhari and elevated him beyond Karmakanda rituals. Now we have the example of Maharaj Ambarish, who engaged brahmanas in performing rituals to create rain, but he wasn't a mixed devotee. He was a Vaikunthavasi. He was Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. But he engaged people that were in some other position to create rain and created rain. They were given some service according to their mentality. And it's a nice example. So the exaltedness of that even Krishna appreciated in Ranti Dev was equally there in Maharaj Parikshit, but fully directed to Krishna. There's a big distinction between the temporary going to heaven by good karma and transcendence. It's right there in this description. Qualities are good, but qualities aren't everything. Pleasing Krishna is everything. And when you please Krishna, then good qualities come and they're directed to pleasing Krishna, which takes you to the realm of transcendence, the realm of higher consciousness. It takes you to Krishna Loka. It takes you fully connected to the personality of Godhead by engaging whatever it is that Krishna has given each one of us in the mood of trying to please Krishna by that something that Krishna has given us. And we're weak. Speak for myself. I'm weak. But the good news is Krishna is not weak. And the association with Krishna through sound, I have faith in that the sound vibration coming from the pure devotee and the sound vibration coming from Srila Prabhupada's Bhaktivedanta purports, that's everything. We don't need something else. Now, Prabhupada in his writings, he encourages, read the Sandarbhas of Jiva Goswami and so forth. So we do on the strength of the instruction to do so. But it's the strength of the instruction to just like chanting the name. In all of the four yugas, the name is there. In this age, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gives the special benediction to that name. And therefore, it has special potency on the receiving end for us. It's not like that potency wasn't there in the name. Krishna and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are the same. Say it reverse. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Krishna are the same. They're identical. It's not an avatar of Krishna. It's Krishna. He is Krishna. And Lord Chaitanya is more merciful than Krishna. That's a contradiction. You got it? They're equal, but Lord Chaitanya is more merciful than Krishna, although they're equal. Same. Why? Because he gave freely Krishna Prema. Namo Mahavaranyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate. He gave freely. And similarly, there's Bhaktivinoda Thakur. I'm going to end, so get ready for an abrupt ending. Bhaktivinoda Thakur wrote Gitavali, which is a number of songs, to teach the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. And Namastika number 6 uses these terms Vacha and Vachaka. Vacha and Vachaka. Right, Sura? It's one of my favorites. So the name and the person named, Nama and Nami, he quotes that in the song also. But yeah, that he gives the Sanskrit, Vacha and Vachaka. They're the same. But a of the two, one is more merciful, although they're the same. And specifically in the song, it says, because if you offend the form, chant the name, and you're relieved of the offense to the form. Therefore, more merciful. And not in reverse. And another is, the name is accessible by anybody. Going back to Prabhupada speaking at the New York Temple, the atmosphere of auspiciousness for the whole of society, the whole world, is created through the name. Now, how many people are going to see the deity, or as in the purport here, Krishna is everywhere. But it's so merciful. And the benediction of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is there. And those that assist Chaitanya Mahaprabhu through the Sankirtan movement, who are we? We're little people. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is not a little people. He's the most munificent. Giving liberally, not just the name, but everything of the whole spiritual world, just as it says here. And the Bhagavatam. So our devotees that are assisting our founder Acharya as the conduit for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy, giving the name and giving the Bhaktivedanta purports to the world, their nimitta, their instruments of that most munificent Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in this age of Kali. So this is an exemplary yatra. I don't know, I mean, you can be proud of yourselves, but I'm an outsider visiting, saying you should be proud of yourselves. You know, the stick-to-itiveness over decades to do these two things, and of course the ways in which it's done are diverse by God's arrangement, but it's the best service to humanity. Service to our founder Acharya, service to the line of disciplic succession, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to give. Even if they don't hear, even if they don't understand, even if they don't like, it creates auspiciousness in a dark age. I'll end there, see if there's any discussion. It's already 20 after. Yes, Mrigapati.
On the point of sound vibration?
Yes.
My question is this, that so earlier in the Bhagavatam, we have Vyasadeva feeling despondent after compiling so many Vedic literatures.
And, yes.
And Narada Muni appears on the scene and you know, explains
gives a course correction.
Yeah. So where's the sound vibration? Because Narada Muni didn't break it down. He didn't lay it out for him. He didn't give him any information. At least there's none of that. He just told them, produce the Bhagavatam. So where does Vyasadeva get all this knowledge? I mean, that spans across eons of time and even across species. I mean, in the eighth canto, you have Gajendra, who's an elephant, and he's offering prayers in his mind, and Vyasadeva is telling us what those prayers are. And so where's the sound bar? How did he get that knowledge?
Super soul. Our Vyas is Krishna, or there are other Vyasas, because at every juncture of Dwarpa and Kali Yuga, there's another Vyas. But our Vyas is Krishna. So how the other Vyasas, who can say? But someone who is spiritually empowered, let me answer your question this way. This is a statement. I could ask it as a question. Was Rupa Goswami empowered? Rupa Goswami, Lord Chaitanya confirmed, was invested with spiritual empowerment. In that spiritual empowerment was all of what Rupa Goswami wrote, what he heard. The spiritual empowerment was invested in him to be an instrument of Lord Chaitanya. And with that spiritual empowerment, all kinds of things. Similarly, Narada invested empowerment. And so whatever he wrote, because he had empowerment. Now, In our case, he's Krishna himself. He doesn't need empowerment, but it's an event.
Pastime.
Pastime. And I don't have... probably in the Puranas there's some information about other Vyasas, but supposing other Vyasas are not empowered. Parashara Muni says about our Vyas, two yuga cycles ago, I was Vyas. Etc. So that's not it's a jiva, not Vishnu Tattva. Empowered, and the empowered one can do things that others that aren't empowered cannot do. It's not a small thing. So similarly, being empowered to give the name Krishna Shakti Vina Nahi. So what's our capacity? Empowerment. And we just have to be submissive and take the instruction, and that's how we can associate and understand things that otherwise, even if we heard, we couldn't understand. Empowerment. It's a big thing. Yes.
Thank you, Maharaj. Sometimes, a few times people ask me this question, how is it that since we have the most powerful knowledge, and like you just say, the holy name gives like everything. I mean, the holy name
yes.
is so powerful.
Yes.
So then, how is it that we're not seeing many people coming and joining?
Oh.
And then the question is, and then again it is it because Kali Yuga, the fact that Kali Yuga is there, is it because sense gratification is so powerful? But you just made the point that the holy name is more powerful. Or is it because we as a movement or individuals don't have enough faith or we don't
it's
create
both.
That situation?
It's both. Ask yourself this question. I ask myself this question regularly. Here's a situation in which I'm finding myself. If Prabhupada was in this situation, would things go up, stay the same, or go down? Really easy question to answer. So it's, we're lacking in qualification. But that's not the only thing. The audiences can be quite difficult, depending. And therefore, the methodology of, with faith, broadcasting the sound and creating auspiciousness so eventually the no, or let me think about it, becomes a yes. But, you know, Kali Yuga is not getting better. Those that receive that sound, something is getting better. We have that faith. We see it. Look around. So it's both. And, you know, having been a preacher for a little while, there's periods of time in our culture, at least America, where there's more interest, less interest. We're in a more interest period, keeping it simple because of time. Therefore, but you know, there has to be strategies that are relatable to our different audiences. It's, and so forth. There's both. Difficult audience, we're less than perfect. Yeah, sure, Brigopati, and I think we're going to end.
Maharaj, it said that at the time of initiation, the spiritual master takes one's karma. Something like that.
You
get a clean slate.
Yeah.
Yet at the same time, in that famous verse by Lord Brahma, the 10th canto, 10:14:8, Tatenu Kampam Susamikshimana, it talks about how one who's, you know, awaiting Krishna's mercy and tolerating the reactions to his past. So it sounds like, I mean, is that verse just talking about people who aren't yet initiated? Because it sounds like it's talking about people who are engaged in devotional service and they're simultaneously having to, you know, tolerate the disadvantages of their past reactions to their sinful activities, and they become the rightful inheritors, you know. So it sounds like they're still getting reactions. It's okay. Just talking about uninitiated people.
Let me ask
the proper understanding? Yeah.
Was Brahma initiated?
Yeah.
Yeah. Was he getting a reaction? Yeah. But it wasn't the same reaction as if he wasn't Lord Brahma. Are you initiated?
Yeah.
Have you had some tribulations in your life? Is it karma Well, it's a token reminder of what should have, would have come had you not become a devotee. That's how devotees see. That's how devotees see. It's not karma. No. That's if someone is fixed. If you're intermittent, deviating, then you may be initiated, but that submission may slacken, and then comes, you know, more than a token reminder. It says we're back in the external energy because our submission slackened. But for Brahma, it's not. And for, so you get the idea.
Yeah.
Token reminder, as opposed to karma, it's not the same. So when those, for us, token reminders come, we what do? We follow what Brahma says. That's what we do. And await the mercy of Krishna. Don't budge an inch from that. Being in high fidelity, association with Krishna, and submission and service to Him, expecting His mercy. And it comes. Including in the tribulation that comes. It's fire of ordeal in Bhaktisiddhanta's language. It's different than karma. Read that purport in the Brahma Samhita, where Yastvinda Gopam, that verse, all living entities and the devotees are another category. Huh? No, Brahma Samhita.
Yeah, he's quoting the last line of the verse you just started quoting. He's just doing the last line.
Okay. We're done. Thank you very much, Prabhupada Ki.
Hare Jai.
Depends on the platform of the hearers. I always